Welcome to Whiskey Cast, Cask Strength Conversation featuring news and interviews from the world of whiskey. I'm Mark Gillespie. This is episode number 335 for September 24th, 2011. Support for Whiskey Cast comes from Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. This time around, I'm on location at Whiskey Live Paris, and I'll have some of today's highlights in just a few minutes, along with the calendar of events, the comments of the week, and the what I'm tasting this week or what I'm tasting today department. First off, let's look at some of the week's news. As always, it's brought to you by Glenmorangie. Another rare bottle of Dalmore has set a new record for the most expensive bottle of whiskey ever sold at retail. A Dalmore 62-year-old was sold the other day at Singapore's Changi Airport for £125,000 or over $200,000. It's the last of 12 originally released bottles back in 2002, and Richard Patterson held it back from sale until recently when he allowed it to go on sale in Singapore.
An incredible amount of money, but, you know, so worth it. I just really hope that when he opens it, and he will open it hopefully at one day, he sips it, saves it, holds it long in the mouth. He has a special creme brulee, then he produces the coffee, then he produces the whiskey and the chocolate, and hopefully maybe perhaps a Hoye de Monterey Epicure number 2, Parker's number, you know, 6 for smoking, and all these flavors will come together. A real fusion of delight.
Is this the final bottle of the 62-year-old?
As far as I'm led to believe, there are, you know, 12 bottles. We had one in our collection, and that's why we've kept it there. We do not have any more in our collection. There are one or two private collectors, but it will be in their original bottle, unlike this one, the Sinclair, which was repackaged to really highlight. And in remembrance, when we call it the Sinclair, that is the Sinclair. This is a remembrance of Drew Sinclair, who was the manager at Dalmore Distillery, who sadly died in 2006. He was a man that spent 44 years with the distillery. So it's a sort of tribute to that great man, because he was dedicated only, you know, to the awareness and bringing furthermore awareness to Dalmore at that lovely distillery.
And the third bottle of the 64 has now sold, right?
That's correct. You're absolutely correct, Mark. As you know, this was retained and bought by a gentleman, unnamed gentleman. He wants to remain anonymous. He is in America, I can tell you that. He is a vast collector of great whiskies, and this will be one of his collection. Three bottles, as you know, Sukhinder Singh was the first to... not just Sukhinder Singh, but Mahesh Patel was the first to buy it, then Sukhinder Singh here in London, and there's an unnamed gentleman in New York, we believe, took the third bottle. I'm really hoping that either of these gentlemen will hopefully open this up at some stage in the future.
What's the next one to come out?
Well, we've got a 60-year-old, which is very, very rare. We're working on it. It has to be manipulated. We have to get the right packaging, and we have to have everything right about it. We're not ready to release it yet, possibly next year, but it's going to be as exciting as the 62 years old and even the 59 and the 58.
On a more pedestrian note, the Dalmore has its own distillery, but only bottling now too, right?
Correct. You're absolutely correct. It's got our own bottling. We've looked at this on a number of occasions, but something a little bit different. We've actually stuck to really American white oak. We want to show the finesse. It's not just to do with sherry wood. It's to do with the elegance attributed to American white oak. American white oak is a fabulous wood that gives elegance, refinement, but more importantly, that finesse. And that finesse is repeated, you know, in this particular distillery run.
In other news, when Irish Distillers introduced the single pot stills of Middleton range earlier this year, we were promised at least one more new release this year. That came this week with the debut of Redbreast 12-year-old cask strength. It's bottled at 57.7% ABV, and Middleton distiller Liam Donegan is pouring it this weekend in Paris for the first time.
Well, on paper, it's identical to the 12-year-old Redbreast that everybody knows and loves, but it's a fairly small batch size, so with 68 casks in there, and with Billy we've been able to select those casks individually and get the nuances, I suppose, from that you'd expect to see in Redbreast 12-year-old, and intensify those in the cask strength. So it's out of the cask, served at 57.7%, and like I say, it has all the character of the 12-year-old, but just supersized a little bit, I suppose.
Put it on steroids, right?
Yeah, something along those. It's I mean, there's no there's no new character and there's no character missing, but everything is in there. It's just that little bit more intense. Those kind of apricot notes and wood spice higher, the length of the finish a little bit longer, and yeah, very interesting and very nice drink. So,
when will it be available and where?
Well, we bottled it this week. We took the first bottles over with us this weekend to Whiskey Live here in Paris, and it's available. It's making its way out to the markets, I suppose, in the next few days and weeks.
I'll have tasting notes for it later on in this episode. And you may have noticed something different at the beginning of the show. Redbreast has signed on as a presenting sponsor of WhiskeyCast starting this week, and I hope you'll join me in thanking them for their support. Meanwhile, Adelphi has an unusual whiskey that's just been released, a 1965 Lockside single blend. That's right, a single blend. Back in the day, Lockside had both pot stills and column stills side by side, producing single malt and grain whiskey. And this combines both to create a rare single blend. It was aged in refill sherry casks and is bottled at 46% ABV. I had the chance to taste this one a couple of weeks ago in Glasgow with the members of Glasgow's Whiskey Club, and you'll find my tasting notes for it online at the WhiskeyCast website. I'll have more headlines in tomorrow's episode from here at Whiskey Live Paris. Of course, the news is brought to you each time by Glenmorangie. Let's check the comments of the week now, brought to you by Highland Park. Heard from a new listener known as The Hobbit earlier this week. Here's what he had to say. Someone on a local list pointed me at your online episodes, so I took a listen, specifically number 326. If you have a reference handy for that original meaning of Houston, back when I said it was an old Spanish word meaning hellishly hot and humid, I'd appreciate it, as I'll add a mention to my trip write-up for this summer. I was through there for a couple of days in July and pretty much agree about its weather. By the way, I can't see anything in your regular photo gallery because you've chosen to present it in a rather inaccessible format. Sorry, I'm not going to just enable JavaScript in Flash because a website tries to tell me to do so. While that may have been something auto-generated by a page composition tool you might have used, it contributes to one of the major causes of many of the problems on the Internet these days. People are encouraged all over the place to enable security and privacy vulnerabilities in their own environments. And then they go stumble across the wrong site, and blammo, their computers are no longer under their control. Happens all the time, so some of us geeky types just wind up turning that stuff off entirely. Thank you for that note, Hobbit, and I completely agree with you and understand your concerns about using Flash on the web. When I added the photo galleries to the website a couple of years ago, a Flash gallery was the only way I could present high-res photos and still maintain some control over them. Of course, that means the galleries also aren't iPad-friendly now, and since we're in the process of building out the all-new WhiskeyCast website, I'll be replacing those old galleries with something that's both easier to use and more secure. Also, the folks at Balblair posted a nice note and photo of one of my Balblair prints on Facebook. I mentioned on the Facebook page that the primary school in Edgerton is holding an auction tonight at the town hall to raise money for the school's annual trip next summer. I donated the print for the auction, and I've decided to do a little bit more for the cause. There are three different Balblair photos in the print gallery on the WhiskeyCast website, and for each Balblair print sold between now and October 15th, I'll donate $25 to the Edgerton Primary School's trip fund. Now, if you have a question, suggestion, or a comment, I'd love to hear from you. You can always use our Facebook community page or just email me. The address is comments@whiskeycast.com, and the comments of the week are brought to you this time around by Highland Park.
Hello, this is Jerry Tosh of Highland Park, the makers of the best spirit in the world. If you'd like to go onto the WhiskeyCast website and click on the banner, then it'll take you to the inner circle and sign up, and we'll send you as much information about Highland Park as you'd ever need to know.
Let's check the calendar of events now, brought to you as always by Laphroaig. McTears will hold its next whiskey auction this coming Wednesday in Glasgow. Anthony Wills of Kilhoman will host a tasting dinner at Ca del Sol Restaurant in Toluca Lake, California on Tuesday, and a tasting at the Beverage Warehouse in Winchester, California on Thursday. The Autumn Speyside Whiskey Festival gets underway this Thursday and runs through next weekend, along with the first weekend of the Stockholm Beer and Whiskey Festival in Sweden and the Pot Still Festival in Amersfoort, the Netherlands. The U.S. chapter of the Scotch Malt Whiskey Society's fall series of single malt extravaganzas gets underway in Chicago on October 5th. And you can get tickets at the Society members' rate when you use the discount code WC2011 at the chapter's website. Finally, Whiskey Live Los Angeles is October 21st, and you can get a 25% discount when you use the code word CASK with a K at whiskeylive.com. Those are just some of the events coming up over the next few weeks. There's a full calendar at the WhiskeyCast website, and it's brought to you by Laphroaig. Don't forget about the annual Laphroaig Live webcast October 6th. You can get all of the details at laphroaig.com.
WhiskeyCast, brought to you by Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. In conversation with Billy Lighton, Master Blender, Redbreast single pot still Irish whiskey.
The sherry butts in particular have a big impact on the flavour of Redbreast. It gives it the deep, dried, fruity notes, which is probably the signature of Redbreast. Take a sip, hold it in my mouth for minutes, and just dissect it and pick up all the little fruity notes. There's something that I didn't notice before. Whenever you leave your glass of Redbreast sitting there for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, you can go back to it and go, wow, something's changed there. Why is that changing? How is it changing? Is this something that I should be picking up on, you know? It's fascinating. And, I mean, I've been in the business 34 years and it still excites me, you know, things like this.
Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Those in the know Redbreast.
Once again, I'm at Whiskey Live in Paris this weekend, and I want to thank my hosts at La Maison du Whiskey for their hospitality again this year. This is regarded as one of Europe's top whiskey shows, and distillers come from all over the world each year to show off their whiskeys. And I mean all over the world, literally. Mark Littler is from Hellier's Road Distillery in Australia.
We've had some good success here in France. So we're at Whiskey Live again for our second year in a row. All our whiskeys, our original whiskey sold out, so we bet the next shipment over here, but we've got some here for our tastings today, and we've also got the peated as well, but it's our original that's really, really taken off. They're distributing it here also into Italy and Spain are some of the other countries that, that they're distributing it into.
What markets are you anticipating getting into over the next year?
We'd like to continue to work with La Maison du Whiskey to explore some other European countries for distribution. And also we've just been accepted into the Canadian market, and we're waiting on the first order to come through. We've got an agent there ready to go. We'll have our product going to Canada in early next year in 2012.
Next year is going to be a big year for you in another way too, right?
Yeah, we're looking at launching our first age statement whiskey, which will be a 10-year-old malt, and hopefully we'll have that available in the first half of the year.
It's been an interesting ride for you guys over the last 9.5 years, hasn't it?
Yeah, no, it's been fantastic. So we've been spending most of the time focusing on the processing and the brewing and distilling and getting our vatting and marrowing procedures right to present our quality. And now that we're just starting to put a bit of effort into our marketing and our sales and our presence around, we've got good distribution throughout Australia now. We're continuing to work at that, and now we've got some stripes ready to go to help get it out further afield into the European market.
Hellier's Road isn't the only Australian distillery here. Lark and Tasmania Distillery are here as well. Ichiro Akuto made the trip from Japan. Of course, he's known for bottling some of the more unusual Japanese whiskies available on the market. This year, he brought over Ichiro's Blend, his own blend of single malt and grain whiskies, and two special single malts, the last edition of Hanyu and the first edition of Chichibu.
The final vintage of Hanyu. My father stopped distilling in 2000. And this is a final vintage. And in 2004, my father decided to sell the company because economy was not good. So, and the new owner of the company decided to throw casks away because at that time the whiskey was not sold very well. Then I decided to purchase the rest of the casks and set up a new company. And we named it Ichiro's Malt. Then I wanted to start distilling again. Then finally, I set up a Chichibu distillery. Now we release the first Chichibu single malt whiskey.
And if I correct me if I'm wrong, did you have the stills from Hanyu that you're using at Chichibu now, or the same stills or new stills?
Actually, no, different stills. We store the Hanyu stills in Chichibu, but I decided to make new pot stills.
What's the differences between the two whiskies?
Difficult to say because they are located in the same prefecture, but water is different, people are different, and capacity of the steel and the shape is different. So, of course, they are making a different type of whiskey. I think Chichibu stills are smaller than Hanyu distillery. So the spirit is more richer, more heavier, and it makes good spirit.
Where will these whiskies be available? I know they're available here in Paris at La Maison, but are they available in other markets as well?
Yes, that answer is...
We're bringing in Martin Miller from Number One Drinks, who handles the business end of things. Where are the first Chichibu and the last Hanyu available, Martin?
The last Hanyu so far is only going to be at La Maison du Whisky, but we'll find a few other markets for that soon. Chichibu the first, La Maison du Whisky, the Whisky Exchange have put in a big order. Our importers in Belgium, the Nectar, Prineus in Germany have put in some orders as well. Taiwan. But our relationship with the French and with the Whiskey Exchange is such that they will probably be representing those brands in other markets too. Not the States yet. It's difficult, but we're working on it. We get a lot of approaches. We're just trying to find the right structure for our products.
Tell me, Ichiro, about the pride that you must be feeling to see the first official single malt now from your distillery.
My feeling?
Yes.
Oh yes, yes. I am happiest in my whiskey life because I was happy to set up a new company. I was happy to build a distillery, and I was happy to see fruit spirits flowing from the still. But now we can serve you the first Chichibu. This is the happiest in my life.
I'll have tasting notes for both of them in just a few minutes. Now, I need to note that not only are many of the world's whiskies represented here this weekend, but there's a French single malt as well. Distillery Varengum in Brittany makes Armorick, and David Roussier is pouring the Armorick Classic this weekend. Since we last talked here last year, you're now in the U.S.
Yes, we have been making a lot of work to promote the whiskey, and actually some French importer in the U.S., heard about our products, came to us and asked, can I import the Armorick to the U.S.? And we have started working on the new bottles, new design, specific mentions. So, and now the Armorick Classic is in the U.S. since, I think, last December, something. And there is some more coming now.
But the whiskey that you're sending to the U.S. is not a whiskey that you've been selling in France, right?
Actually, we have been making a special edition for the U.S., and this edition was, it was judged by some newspaper and people there as very good, so we decided to make this edition also for France and for the export in all over the world, so it's been working well.
Tell me about it. What's unique about this, about the recipe?
It's actually the first whiskey we made, which is unchill filtered. We didn't used to make unchill filtered whiskey, and now we have started it, and we found it really good. But it's basically a special blend of everything we can find really good in our warehouses. So you find some 7-8 years old sherry casks, some younger ex-bourbon cask, and some older casks that have been recharged, discharged. So it's a blend of all these, and it makes a very, very good whiskey, I think.
What other markets are you expanding out into?
We have been expanding a lot in Canada as well. U.S., I mean, it's a lot of work, but state after state, we're slightly growing. And, we are exporting a lot in Sweden, actually, since last year also. And starting to, expand also in Europe, Germany, Holland. So, it's going pretty well for us.
Tomorrow we'll hear from more distillers and blenders here in Paris this weekend, so make sure to check back for this week's bonus episode from Paris. Let's start off the What I'm Tasting Today department with the Armorec Classic. It's bottled at 46% ABV. The nose is light, citrusy with a lemon touch, and touches of honey and oak. There's a great mouthfeel. It's very puckering with a nice cinnamon note that fades to reveal some honey, orange peel, and lemon zest. The finish is soft and muted, slightly tart with a hint of dried flowers. I'm scoring the Armorec Classic a 90. It's the best one I've had from Armorec yet. Now, the Redbreast 12 cask strength, and I do need to acknowledge that Redbreast is a sponsor of Whiskey Cast. It's bottled at 57.7% ABV. The nose has apricots, plums, no burn to it despite the strength, but it does have a touch of maltiness, allspice, and some nuttiness, too. The taste is mouth-filling and peppery with apricot, plum, allspice, but it's creamy underneath as well for a great balance. The finish is long, lingering, and spicy. If you like the Redbreast 12-year-old, you're going to love this one. I'm scoring the Redbreast 12 cask strength a 93. Now let's talk about those two malts from Ichiro Akuto. The last Hanyu is bottled at 59% ABV. It was distilled in 2000, bottled earlier this year. The nose has a nice oakiness to it with some soft muted spices, a touch of caramel and vanilla, dried flowers, and a hint of ginger root. The taste is very mouth-filling with a chili pepper note that fades very slowly. Also has some vanilla, ginger root, and honey present underneath that aren't overwhelmed by the chili pepper. The finish is amazingly long and peppery with honey underneath. This is an amazing malt. It is the last one that will ever be bottled from Hanyu, the last production run, rather. I'm scoring it a 95. Now, the first one from Chichibu is bottled at 61.1% ABV. It was distilled in 2008 and bottled just a few weeks ago here in 2011. The nose has some sweet corn notes to it, a hint of oak and dried flowers, and some vanilla. The taste is thick, rich, and mouth-coating with cinnamon spice, vanilla, and honey that lingers to a very long finish. It does not taste 3 years old by any stretch of the imagination. It's a great malt. I can't wait to try this one as it gets older. I'm scoring Ichiro's, the first one from Chichibu, a 93. Now, of course, you'll find all of my tasting notes on the free WhiskeyCast apps for iPhone, iPad, and Android. The Apple version is sponsored by the Glenrothes. The Android version is brought to you by Ben Romick, and I'll have more tasting notes in tomorrow's episode here in Paris as well. My notes are also available at the WhiskeyCast website, along with the calendar of events, links for our Facebook page and my Twitter feed, the print gallery, and a complete archive of past episodes. The address is WhiskeyCast.com. Support for Whiskey Cast comes from Redbreast, the definitive single pot still Irish whiskey. Additional support for this weekend's special coverage of Whiskey Live Paris comes from La Maison de Whiskey. Whiskey Cast is a production of Cast Strength Media, copyright 2011. From Paris, I'm Mark Gillespie, reminding you that when you drink, please drink responsibly. Thanks for listening.